Okay. This week's parsha is Vayakha Pekudei, so we have the mitzvah of Shabbos there, the Yonot HaMelacha on Shabbos, right? The Torah connects the Mishkan, and then it goes on to talk about you should keep Shabbos, so I guess that gives us free range to talk about anything to do with Shabbos. So the question we want to discuss is recording someone who is speaking on Shabbos without their knowledge, right? Obviously, the person is probably not going to speak if they know they're going to be recorded. But let's say the rabbi is giving a drasha, and you don't tell them that you're recording it. So can you set it up from before Shabbos that it will record, you know, it will record the drasha, and no one will be the wiser? And then after you record it, what about, can you listen to it after Shabbos? Once you did it, once you did the dirty deed, perhaps, can you listen to it after Shabbos? And what about, this is big in the by the Hasidim, the Rebbe always gives a big drasha by Shal Shudas, way after the Zman. They keep Rabbeinu Tam, no, plus Rabbeinu Tam, even further. So Shabbos is out, according to everyone. And the Rebbe is keeping Shabbos. So can you set up a recorder then to record the Tish by Shal Shudas? So all different things we want to get to. So the issue of recording voices is clearly a new thing in the history of the Jewish people. It is first discussed in the Tshuva of Yitzhak Shmelkis, the Beis Yitzhak in Yerodea, Beis Lamed Aleph. And back then they did not have MP3 players, they did not have tapes. What they had was waxed cylinders from phonographs. That's how you recorded sound. So he is asked about this, about can I record on Shabbos the wax cylinder? The way it would work is you had this big tube and you soak into the tube and the needle would change based on the sound the person was speaking into the tube, and it would literally make indentations in the wax cylinder. And then you wanted to replay it, you had to take out the wax cylinder, and then you put it into the machine, and the phonograph would replay whatever sounds you record into the wax cylinder. So the Beis Yitzhak says that is kosei, that is writing on Shabbos, because you were literally writing on Shabbos. That's what you were doing. You were speaking, and it was causing it to indent into the wax cylinder. And it would actually mark it up. And the Minchas Yitzchak in Hey Yudalid and the Chokas Yaakov and the Rechaim Kuchav Dalid also say that recording a voice, and they're talking about a tape at that point, they say it has a chashash isudah, a rice of kosev. It could be that recording onto a tape would be kosev, because you are, in a sense, engraving some sort of information onto the device. That is the first issue of recording a voice. There are other issues that are raised as well. Rav Menashe Klein has two fantastic tshuvos about recording on Shabbos. So this is in Chelek Zayin, Siman Nun Hey, in the seventh volume. So he says that it's certainly not regular kosev, because you don't write normally with your mouth, because that's what you're doing. You're speaking, and it's causing something to write. And the Arugas Habosem in Aleph Samaches, so he says that it's certainly not minat Torah, it's certainly not a Torah prohibition to write, it's kalachariyat. If you're doing it, you know, secondhand, you're not actually writing onto the tape, it's happening through you speaking. And therefore, it's only kosev midurabbanan, according to these poskim. And the Hard Tzvi, or Pesach Frank, has tshuvos to Hard Tzvi. At the end of the first volume of Hard Tzvi, he has a bunch of ideas on Shabbos. It's called the Tel Harim. So on the Malach of Kosev, so he goes further and says that even if it's, he's not even sure if it's Kosev, it's so removed from Kosev that he questions even if it's writing at all. And Ravad Yosef in the Chavadas in Beis Nun Zayin goes further, and he says that, what does that have to do with the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, they were making marks by hand. This is so distant from what they did in the Mishkan that how could we possibly say that this is kosev in any way? And first of all, what are you reading here? What do you read when you record on a tape? You're writing something. No one can read that. Even if you had a magnifying glass or a microscope, there's nothing to read. So what kind of roshim, what kind of inscribing are you doing? Says Ravad Yosef. So the question is, what can we transfer to? Does this transfer to an MP3 player? Does this transfer to whatever the technology is nowadays? So in this case, there is roshim. There's certainly some sort of writing, but it's not readable. The Prima Gadim has the following case. We all know, right, invisible ink, right? When you're kids, you take some sort of like lemon juice, right? And you heat it up by the fire and then on the paper, and then, you know, you can see the writing come out of the invisible ink. So in Shin Mem Gimel, the Prima Gadim discusses invisible ink. And he says that they would take some sort of liquid, or they use like mei chalav, like some sort of derivative of liquid derivative of milk. And if you wrote on the paper, you didn't see anything. But when you put it by the heat, so then it caused the writing to appear. So he says that heating up the invisible ink is asur midrabanan. But he doesn't say that writing with the invisible ink is asur midrabanan. He just says the heating it up so you can see it is kosev midrabanan. And this would imply that recording certainly cannot be more than an isur derabanan. Because when you record something, you don't see anything. There's nothing to observe. There's nothing to read. There's nothing that's there. The only way to get it back would be to have to play it. But that's another discussion, playing it. But the actual recording of the item, what are you doing, say these poskim? It doesn't seem that you're doing anything, not even us, means derabanan, the Be'er Moshe, the Devartin Rav, wrote a whole kuntres, a whole section called the Kuntres Electric, dealing with technology and things like that. So in Siman Ayin Zayin, he says that recording a tape is no more than an Isser Darabanan, and Rav Schefter has said a number of occasions that recording digital information is Kosev Midarabanan, at least Kosev Midarabanan, because there is some sort of reckoning and recording of information. And this recording of information is Kosev Midarabanan.
I don't understand how we can make a general statement about Isid Rabbanim. You know, the Rabbanim, if we have Takanas, if we have Gedarim, they're clearly stated.
Mm-hmm.
Where does somebody get the idea that Rabbanim...
There's a difference, when it comes to Shabbos, there's a difference between a Malacha de Rabbanan and a Gzeira. A Gzeira, nobody's making any new Gzeiros. This is not like, it's us to record that, you know, Shema, you're going to come and, you know, write a letter to your mother. That's not what we're talking about over here. Malacha de Rabbanan means that if the malacha, right, every malacha has two aspects to it. It's the act, the action that was on the Mishkan, and the purpose that was on the Mishkan. So we usually call that a tolda. A tolda is a malacha, is an action which lacks the act of the Mishkan, but it has the purpose it was trying to do. For example, watering plants on Shabbos is a tolda of zorei, of planting. Now, everybody can see that when you water something, you're not putting a seed in the ground. But what are you doing? You're causing growth. So the same thing over here. No one's going to go and say that recording something is a tolda of kosev. No one's going to go far, take that far. What we can say is it is extremely similar to the purpose of kosev. The purpose of kosev is to record information to be used later. And the same thing over here. The recording of the information, whether it be digital or not, is something that you are saving, you're recording information for the purpose of using it later on. So it's close enough to say it's kosev midrabanan. I asked Rav Schefter once about they have these pedometers that you wear on your wrist. These are fancy new electric ones, which is a watch and whatever else you want it to be at the same time. So what you can do is you can set the pedometer that the watch face shows, and it's still recording your steps, but that's all going on a digital level underneath the watch. You don't see anything changing over Shabbos. So Shachar said, it's kosev midrabanan, because even though you don't see anything happening on the screen, you're still recording useful information that's going on later. Okay, so we have kosev, another issue, at least kosev midrabanan, when it comes to recording a voice. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in the Shmir Shabbos Hilchos HaPerach Samech Ches, in Ara Kuf Chaf Dalid, and he says it earlier in Perach Samech Vav as well, that it's usur to record a tape, because before the recording on the tape, it's useless. And what did you do now? You turn it into something useful. It's bona. He says it's bona. It's a form of building when it comes to recording something. Bona midoraisa, which is a very, very big chiddush, a Torah-level prohibition of building something. There's a fantastic sefer from Professor Zev Lev, who was the founder of Machon Lev in Yerushalayim, the technology institution there, at the university. So he has a sefer published by Masada Rav Kook called Marche Lev, in which he discusses all interesting things about technology and interface with halacha, which is very fascinating because he knows what's going on inside the machine. He can explain it very well. So there's a whole chapter about computers, and he writes on page 296 and 297 that he finds it very difficult to say that this is bona midoraisa. He says, "B'kavod gadol sur Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you know a lot more Torah than me, but just the way the technology works, he finds it very difficult to call this bona." He says, "There, according to that reasoning, if I have a tape that's already has something on it. So you're going to tell me that I'm allowed to record over it because I didn't take something useless and make it useful. I had something that was useful and I made it a different kind of useful. So that's not going to be bona. He finds the whole premise, just the way tapes work, he finds it very difficult to call this something like, bona. So he disagrees with on that approach. There's another opinion regarding recording something, a voice on Shabbos. That's the opinion of the Chalkas Yaakov in Or Chaim Kuch Chav Dav. He says that you can't record a voice on Shabbos because it will increase the flow of the electricity when you speak into it. And that will be molid. Molid is the idea of adding something new that does not exist. You're going to cause the electricity to increase when you're talking into the device. And the poskim disagree thoroughly. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the Mincha Shlomo, in Aleph Tes, and Rav Avadja Yosef, in Yechav Adas, Beis Nun Zion, say that this is not included, this is not clear at all. And increasing the flow of electricity of something that's already on is nothing. The electricity in this machine is running, whether or not I'm talking to it or not, and it is the same. It is not using more or less electricity, whether I talk or whether no one says anything. It's the same. And therefore, they reject that very quickly. Okay, so then we get on to the real opinion of Shlomo Zalman Orbach and the Mincha Shlomo, Tes Beis. So he says, and Chelik Beis Chaf Aleph, that's a form of Makeh V'Patish. Right? I mean, the Makeh V'Patish is the final blow to make something useful. And he says you're making a useful kli. Before I had a useless tape, before I had whatever, a useless file, and now I am making it useful. I have something there to use. And this is the opinion of Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul in the Or LeZion Chelik Beis in Perek Mem Aleph. He says as well that it's Makeh V'Patish. Makeh V'Patish is one of those catch-all malachos. Like if you like do anything and now it's like good, so then we can label it Makeh V'Patish. And the Ber Moshe, the Debre Tzina Rav, disagrees. He says that we don't go around making new forms of Makeh V'Patish. You can't go and say, oh, this is Makeh V'Patish, now this is Makeh V'Patish. Makeh V'Patish is in what we already know to be, and we don't go and make new things, especially in something where I cannot observe any change. How are you going to call something where I cannot see the difference in it after I talk to it? There's no discernible change. Now, what has changed? How could it be Makeh V'Patish? And Rav Avadya Yosef, actually, at the end of Yabi Omer Chel Tes, in Kufkas, he was very good friends with Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul. They grew up together in Porat Yosef. And if you look at all the new biographies of Rav Yosef, there's pictures of them smiling and talking. They were very, very close friends when they were little, even until they were older and they both passed away. So he wrote a comments on the second volume of the Or LeZion that was published by Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul and his yeshiva. So on number Kuf Peches 188, Ravadja says that the entire Isra of recording is only Midrabanan and certainly not Makeh V'Patish Midal Raisa. How could it possibly be? There's no, what's going on? Makeh V'Patish, you didn't change anything. So so those are a number of opinions. Oh, there's one last opinion. The Chalkas Yaakov writes in the same tshuva that it produces sparks when you talk into the machine. That is clearly not the case. It does not produce any sparks when you talk into a recording device, a tape player, or an MP3 player, wherever it is. And the Ben Ish Chai, in his Ben Ish Chai, Al-Khel Beis Drush Gimel, says that speaking into a gramophone violates sirtut, that you're not allowed to make lines, indentations, to record on something. They write in the Sefer Torah, when you read from the Torah, you know there's lines where the letters are, so that's sirtut. So it's, if you talk into the wax cylinder and you cause it to inscribe in the wax cylinder, that's going to be sirtut. The Yechav Adas questions this because sirtut is only also when it's done for the sake of writing something later on. When you talk into the wax cylinder for the gramophone, you have no intention of writing something on the wax cylinder. Okay, so lemaisa at the end of the day, let's label the major issue here, Kosev Midrabanan. And that's what we're going to run with because that seems to be the opinion and the most dominant opinion amongst the poskim. Recording something on Shabbos is going to be Kosev Midrabanan. With that in mind, let's discuss the real important question. The Rebbe is going to be davening for the Amud Yantif, and he has a special nusach, and you want to hear the Rebbe daven. Okay? So they asked for, so this is what happened. The chassid went, and he recorded the Rebbe. He set up a tape player before Yantif, and he recorded the Rebbe. And now the chassid is having regrets. He wants to do kapara. I recorded the Rebbe. Oh my gosh, how did I do this? I might have done something terrible. Maybe he violated Isurim. So he goes to Rav Menashe Klein, and Mechelek Zion Nunhei. So He wants to know what he should do. It should be chayiv. And he says, you know, the chassid, so Rav Moshe Klein says, really, honestly, the chassid really didn't do anything. He isn't chayiv because what did he do? He just set up a device before Yontif. So, right, what did he didn't really do anything. He set up the device before Yontif. There's no isser to set up the device to run by itself on Yontif. And the Rebbe didn't do anything because he only did something b'misasek. What's misasek? But we know if you, when you violate Shabbos, you can violate Shabbos in three levels. One is I do it on purpose, right? I know that the light switch is over there, and I know it's Shabbos, and I'm going to flick the light switch, so I turn the light on purpose. The other thing is what we call shogeg. What's shogeg? Either I don't know that it's us to turn the light on Shabbos, nobody taught me that in school, and I go and turn it on. That's shogeg, I made a mistake. Or I forget that today is Shabbos. I know that I can't turn the light on Shabbos, but I forget today is Shabbos. So when I go to the light switch, I turn it on. Okay. I'm sorry, I have to bring a korban. Fine. That's what I have to do if you have a base in English. There's a third level, which is called misasek. Misasek is when I don't even know what I'm doing. I flip around and I hit the light switch and the lights go on or off. Okay? We don't call that by accident. Beshoge means by accident. Beshoge means I should have known better, but I didn't. Misasek means I was totally unaware of what I was doing. I just had no idea what was going on. So Rav Moshe Klein says, when the Rebbe talks into the tape recorder, or davens in the tape recorder, does he know he's being recorded? No, he has no idea he's being recorded. That's misasek. It's a zero. The Rebbe has done absolutely nothing wrong. So he says, both of them are patzer, right? It's brilliant. The chassid didn't do anything wrong because he set it up before Shabbos or Yontif. The Rebbe didn't do anything wrong because he didn't know he was doing anything wrong. And therefore he says, both are patzer. Both are clear. They both got off scot-free. It is similar to actually one of my favorite Hilchos Shabbos questions. The question is this. You're out Friday night, right? You're out Friday night, and you're in a place where there's no Erev. And you realize that you left the key in your pocket. You're out to dinner. And you left the key in your pocket, and there's no key waiting for you by the doorstep. And the only way to get into your house that night is with the key, which is in your pocket. How are you going to carry it outside? So your brother-in-law is with you for Shabbos, and while you're putting on your coats and you're ready to go home, so you take your key and you slip it into your brother-in-law's coat, okay? And you start to walk home with no Erev, and you get to the door, you get to your house, you reach into your brother-in-law's key, you take out the key, you open up the door, and you say, thank you very much, and you walk inside, right? So who did anything wrong? Your brother-in-law didn't do anything wrong. Why? He didn't know he was carrying. You'll say, oh, it was Lifnei Iver. Right? I caused him to stumble. Caused him to stumble in what? He didn't do anything wrong. It's perfect. It's the perfect crime, right? You didn't do anything wrong. Nobody did anything wrong. So that's what, we're not advocating that position at all. It's probably a mean-spirited thing to do. But
if you needed to?
But, I don't know. I'm uncomfortable saying. But it's, let's just call it more of halachic gymnastics. Just to figure out the case. So it's the same thing over here. What the chassid, what lifnei iver? He didn't cause the Rebbe to do anything wrong because the Rebbe didn't do anything wrong, says Rav Moshe Klein. However, he does say that there is an isser of ma'isa Shabbos. Ma'isa Shabbos is the problem of using something after Shabbos in which you made inappropriately on Shabbos, right? You go on Shabbos, you wake up in the morning, and you make yourself a big steak, okay? You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, so you cannot eat the steak that you made on Shabbos. Okay? You're not allowed to get any benefit from it. That's what we call Ma'isa Shabbos.
So someone else get the benefit?
It depends on the case. Depends on what you did. Depends on how it was done, whether it was Derabban, Daraisa, you did it by accident, was the person aware, a bunch of different factors. So he says, he thinks though, there's something wrong about it. He can't point to what the issue is, but there's some Ma'isa there. It doesn't sit right that he recorded this guy davening on Shabbos. And therefore he says he doesn't like getting any benefit from it. And then he says that there's going to be shame Hashem on this recording as well. This is a side point. The Rebbe davened and he used Hashem's name, right? Hashem's name over and over again in davening. It's going to be playing Levatala. It could be, you know, using Hashem's name in vain every single time you play the recording of the Tfilos. And it could be a zilzal of Hashem's name. In addition, he says you should go to the Rebbe and ask him for mechila for recording on Shabbos. Okay, that's tshuva number one. He approaches this again later on in Chelek Yud Aleph, Reish Nundal, about a Rebbe who was machmer for Rabbeinu Tam, but not just Rabbeinu Tam. He was machmer for Rabbeinu Tam according to the opinion of the Chassam Sofer. What does that mean? That means you have to wait to end Shabbos 2 hours and 10 minutes after Hadlakos Neros. to end Shabbos. Okay? That's pretty much as late as you're going to get on the books. Okay? So, according to, again, that's the Rabbeinu Tam, according to Tam Sofer, is 2 hours and 10 minutes after Hadlakas Neros. So that's a very late Shabbos. So the Rebbe is machmer to keep this sheet of Rabbeinu Tam with the Chassam Sofer. So what happened? The Rebbe says over the Torah by Shal Shet, it's a whole long, beautiful drasha, and the Chassam wants to know if you can record the shir if he ends Shabbos earlier. Right? He ends Shabbos earlier. He's not going to wait for this crazy chumrah. He ends Shabbos earlier. Can he record the Rebbe at Shal Shet? So Rabbi Nasha Klein says that based on the previous shul, it would be a problem because it makes him uneasy about recording people on Shabbos. For the person who's speaking, it's still Shabbos, and you're causing him to record while it's still Shabbos for him. You'll say, oh, it's not my Shabbos, but it's still Shabbos for him. It's not fair to him to make him record something when it's still Shabbos for him. And he concludes that they wanted to do this with the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and the Kloisenberger Rebbe said, no, I won't have it. So he brought a Maisa Rav, a story that they didn't allow it. Okay? Fine.
That's because he'd be recording the Rebbe on Shabbos.
Yes.
As opposed to taking a picture of where the Rebbe's not doing anything, you're doing the action.
We're talking about when?
When same it's, time.
It's the same thing. His Shabbos is on, my Shabbos is still going.
Right.
Taking a picture, there's more room over there to allow it. In general, if someone wants to take a picture.
What I'm saying is that you're doing the action, yeah. The Rebbe's doing nothing.
It would probably be better than that. He might not want it, but right. But it's definitely less of an issue. Okay, Rebbe Moshen Chelek Zayin and his Kuntras HaElectric in Mem Beis, so he addresses the same thing as well. All the Hasidic Rabbanim are dealing with the Shaila. No Litvish Rabbanim are getting the Shailas. So the Rebbe Moshen says that the person who's speaking after the Zman of Shabbos has passed certainly plans to keep all the details of Shabbos. If you go to the Rebbe and say, you're keeping the Rabbeinu Tam according to Chassam Sofer, the Rebbe's going to say, yeah, because I think it's still Shabbos. I'm not doing it, for kicks. I think it's still Shabbos. I'm treating it with all the Kedusha Shabbos, even the Dinei Darabanan. Therefore, you shouldn't record him if he's keeping Shabbos. However, if the person is doing it L'Shem Shemayim, if the person making the core recording is doing it because this recording of the Rebbe will be so inspirational and will cause people, to become closer to Hashem, then he says, perhaps there's room to allow it. And he concludes that since the Rebbes know that the Hasidim do strange things, Hasidim do things like to get the Torah and try to get as close as they can, so the Rebbe should be aware, so the Rebbe should be openly instructing them not to record the Shirim if they don't want to be recorded on Shabbos, on their Shabbos. So he says it's the responsibility of the Rebbe to make sure that the Hasidim know how to act. Okay? There's just a general, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Igros Moshe Dal Mem Yud Tes in Or HaChaim, where he wants to know, can you record someone in general against their will? They don't know. Do you have to ask the speaker permission to record him? So Rav Moshe says no, unless if he expresses otherwise, he doesn't want to be recorded, then it's usher to record him. But the assumption is you're allowed to record the person unless they say otherwise. Okay, next, in Simon Ayin Zion in the Kuntras HaElectric, he was asked whether you can use the tape and sell it. Okay, I made the tape of the Rebbe, I made the MP3 of the Rebbe, can I sell it? Can I distribute it? So he says, since it was done b'shogeg, the guy didn't know any better when he did it, and it's certainly an Isser Derabanan, as we explained already, by Kosev Nidarabanan. So he says it's allowed and you can sell. However, you should make sure when you sell this tape to put a sticker on it that says, this was recorded on Shabbos by accident, and I made a big boo-boo, and I shouldn't have done it. So people don't get the impression that you're allowed to record things on Shabbos. Now, what do they do? What do they used to do? So I used to hear, I don't really know the source of this, but I used to hear that back in the old country, what they would do is they'd have little children underneath the tables by Motzei Shabbos who would write down, after Rabbeinu Tam came, they would write down the Divrei Torah underneath the table the Rebbe was saying. So they would, because they were under Bar Mitzvah, they didn't keep Shabbos as long, so they would write it down. By Chabad, so the Lubavitch Rebbe had Rav Yoel Kahn. Rav Yoel Kahn was his chozer. Rav Yoel Kahn would sit by the Rebbe by Shal Shittus, and he would literally memorize every single thing the Rebbe said, and he was the chozer. And after Shabbos, Rav Yoel Kahn would sit there, and the Hasidim would gather around him, the Lubavitch and the Hasidim would gather around him, and he would repeat the drasha word for word back, with all of the inflections and everything. Repeat it back word for word. So not everybody has a Rav Yoel Kahn to do it. Rav Yoel Kahn is still very much alive. He's a tremendous Talmid Chacham. But that's another way to get around it. Just have a super genius just memorize what the Rebbe's saying. Okay.
But that's just a non-issue.
Well, of course. That's the way to, I guess, if you want to have the Rebbe Shir, just have somebody brilliant memorize it. Okay. There's a sefer called Maor HaShabbos, which
that's
is a collection.
We're going to repeat it.
Which is a sefer called Maor HaShabbos, which is one of the most difficult and troublingly organized svarim and Halacha Shabbos I've ever found before. It's just a mishmash of like different essays and letters from Gedolim on aspects of Shabbos. There's really no seder to it, and the whole book makes no sense. But in Chelek Aleph, Siman Yud Ches, there's a whole piece about this, and they have letters from Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Vosner. Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes as follows. I'll just read you what he says. He says, "La'inyan ha'nam mekaletz zu kishavar v'hikle choshvani dekil tvei mishogigum mutalehenos." He says, if you do it, you're allowed to get benefit from it. He says, if you do it, you're allowed to get benefit from it. V'zeh shehichshol b'mezid avar rak alifnei iver l'hachshol misasek. And even though he did it on purpose, it was only lifnei iver on misasek. It was only, the guy didn't even know what he was doing. And Rav Vosner writes in the Shevet Alevi as well that b'diyevin mutal lehenos afshel chatchila vaday ein os lasos kain. Even though lechatchila you shouldn't do it, but you're allowed to get benefit from the tape if you do record. The Az Nidbaru in Chelik Vav, Simon Yuches and Simon Chaf Vav, and then later on Simon Zion in Chelik Zion Ayin Vav also deals with this. This is the first, I guess, non-Hasidish person who's going to deal with it, Rav Binyamin Zilber of Bnei Brak. So he says that it's certainly usher to record someone who's still observing Shabbos. He says, certainly, a person observing Shabbos, you're not allowed to record them. And he quotes a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that if a chicken sticks his head, your chicken goes over to your friend's glass pitcher, and he sticks his head inside the pitcher, and he makes a loud chicken screech, and it cracks the glass. So who's chayav to pay? So the Gemara says that you have to pay full damages if your chicken does it. The chicken didn't physically do anything, it was just a voice. So this shows that a voice is considered an action. The fact that the chicken would damage the glass and you'd be responsible to pay shows that a voice is an action. And Rabbi Akiva Eger there in the Gilyon HaShas, so he cites the Beis Yosef in Yeridea Kuf Yud Gimel, discussing Bishol Akam. And the Beis Yosef says that if the guy starts cooking the food, and you want to make it not food cooked by a non-Jew anymore, you want to make it Bishol Yisrael, all you have to do is walk up to the fire and blow on the flames to increase the intensity of the flames, and that's considered enough to take care of Bishol Akam. Again, what do we see? Using your voice, using what comes out of your mouth, is enough to create an action that is significant. So the Az Nidbaru says this may be a stretch, but it's certainly something. It's certainly some sort of grumma, some sort of thing that's causing the speaker to violate Isser Darabanan. Meaning, even though he's only doing it with his voice, he's causing whatever happened with his voice, there's something there. There's some power in halacha to use your voice. And he cites that he heard that the Kloisenberger Rebbe and the Vizhintzer Rebbe, who explicitly forbade this practice, and he says the question is a case, he addresses the case whether this is a case of grumma, meaning causing something to happen secondhand, and he says maybe shvus to makom mitzvah, it's two durabanans, no, for the sake of a mitzvah, so we can have the Rebbe's Torah. So he says that even if we're the case, we don't allow shvus to shvus, doubling up on a durabanan, right? It's kosev mizrabanan with a grumma attached to it for a mitzvah, right, of spreading Torah. So he says that's a one-time event. You don't allow a double durabanan for the sake of a mitzvah every single week. This is something you use when you need an emergency. You don't say week in, week out, we're going to record the Rebbe's Torah, you know, for the sake of having it. Fine. So he does agree, though, as well, that you're allowed to listen to it once it's made. So just regarding making it again, the Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach and Rav Vosner write, Asur lahachsho gam lemishu kemisasek. It's asur to cause someone to make a mistake, even misasek. So it's clear from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you would not be allowed to put the key in your brother-in-law's pocket in order to get it home. It's usher, he says, to cause someone to stumble, even in misasek. Ki yesh lach shosh to mikol makom gamam lecha Shabbos chashim kishkagas avera. You're still doing some sort of not nice thing on Shabbos. V'gam ein zechashiv kolo nichalei. And certainly it's lo nichalei. You think your brother-in-law wants your key in his pocket? No. And you think the Rebbe wants his voice being recorded? No. So he says, it's lo nichalei. They don't want it to They don't, certainly don't want it to happen. During the week they want it. They don't want it on Shabbos. So leave them alone on Shabbos. Rishtermach has a tshuva and tshuva sanagos gimel dalin ayin vav. The same issue. So now we're going to see two prominent poskim who allow the recording by a late Shabbos. Who are they? So what first is Rishtermach. So Rishtermach says that there's an understanding that you can retain the Kedusha of Shabbos until Chatzos, Halayla. He has some sort of source that you can't keep the Kedusha of Shabbos past Chatzos and Mosei Shabbos. This would raise an issue for the Amshon of a Rebbe who keeps Shabbos until, like Monday or Tuesday. Okay? Whatever. So Shurbach says, you can't keep the Kedusha of Shabbos past Chatzos of Mosei Shabbos. That, it's going to be removed no matter what. But there's still a mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos until that time. So he says, for this reason, you surely should not pressure the person to end their Shabbos early so that you can get a recording. The Rebbe should never feel pressure like, oh, the Hasidim want a recording, they want to hear the Shir, maybe I should end Shabbos early. No. You should never pressure the person. But he says there's no Isser being performed by the Rebbe. This is pretty much against what everybody else said. And it's totally misasek. Totally against what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, and therefore you can record someone if it is still Shabbos for them, says Rav Shternbach.
If they're aware of it?
He says he'd probably prefer that they be made aware of it so they can end Shabbos they want, and even if they don't know about it. I mean, if they don't know about it, he says certainly you can record them.
If Shabbos Shuva,
yeah.
You say, you know what, once a year I'm going to hold.
Yeah.
The
Rebbeinu Tam.
Rebbeinu Tam, according to 2 hours and 10 minutes,
yeah.
Right. One time a year. So clearly you're not doing it because of you believe that's when it's until.
You're doing it for like a one time.
That night then, could someone record you?
According to Sternbach, 100% yes.
Well, according to Sternbach,
yes. According to everybody else, I think they would say no. Who else you'd be surprised to hear? So Rav Moshe Feinstein. But I have to admit, the source is not without controversy. The source is from the Rishume Aaron, Chelik Beis, Orachayim, Shin Mem Zayin, which is Rav Aaron Felder, who's a Rav in Philadelphia. He was a Ben Bias by Rav Moshe for a number of years, and he took notebooks and wrote down everything that he heard from Rav Moshe. The Sefer is not on the same level as the Negros Moshe. If this was Negros Moshe, so there'd be more what to discuss. It's a one-line thing in this Sefer that is a nice Sefer, but it's really not on the level of the Igros Moshe itself. So I'll read you his Lashem, just to make sure that we're very clear what he says. Mutzer lahaklit shir Torah, you're allowed to record the Torah shir, shel mish adayim lohivdil kozman, for someone who had not made Havdalah, shekvar yatzes man Shabbos, as long as the time of Shabbos has ended. Rav Moshe, according to Rav Aaron Felder, black and white, would allow such a thing. And Rav David Harfenis of Williamsburg in his Mishpah Shabbos, Chalak Beis, Sofer Shalom and Hay, says that if the speaker is aware that he's being recorded, then it is allowed, because the speaker knows what's going on. However, if he's unaware, then it's not a problem, because the assumption is that if the speaker knows he's being recorded, he'll hopefully say Baruch HaMavdil, and he'll take it upon himself to end Shabbos even before making Havdalah.
This is voice recording.
The voice recording. Lamaisa, what are we going to come out of this? We're going to say that Lamaisa Shir should surely not be recorded on Shabbos. And I think it is a clear opinion of most poskim that a Shir should not be recorded even after the Zman has passed, but the person is keeping Shabbos. And it's proper to be, certainly proper to be Machmer, but if it is recorded, then you would be allowed to still use the tape and listen to it if it was done.
And how about we've been discussing after Shabbos.
Yeah.
What about if someone makes early Shabbos?
It would go probably the same way, but even worse, because it's more of a real Kabbalah Shabbos over there. That's more of a real
Shabbos.
That's real Shabbos.
Mosei Shabbos is also really Shabbos, right?
But there's things of Havdalah,
but here it's not Shabbos at all.
True, but it'd be the same thing. Probably be the same thing. The same issues would apply. Okay.
All right,
good. Ashkarach.